Let's go to Robert in Washington State. Robert, what's happening? Just gonna leave that alone, Chaz. What up, Robert?
Hey, thanks, Chicken. Hi, how you guys doing?
Oh, wow. Wow. Breaking news. Hold on, Robert. Hang tight. Hang tight. Hang tight.
Okay.
Breaking news. Hit the sounder, Spadoni. Hit the sounder. Hit the sounder for me. Let's go. Get it to me.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
According to Adam Schefter, the New York Jets have just fired head coach Robert Saleh.
What?
Just fired Robert Saleh. He is gone from the New York Jets.
I thought they were going to trade for Devontae. That's where I thought you were going.
No, no.
Did you think that?
Our old friend Robert Saleh has been fired.
Wow.
So now, if he wants to come over here and bring him back to the Bay Area, baby. Saleh, you always got a home in Santa Clara.
Come on, Bobby.
Come on, Saleh. The Jets they don't know what they have in you.
Simon and Garfunkel, Homeward Bound. So, play it for me now.
You want to talk about a coach killer? That's Aaron Rodgers. Sorry, Robert. I just had to get that out there.
Well, he also got to hack it higher. Oh, no, so.
That's pretty obvious what we need to do with that right there. But, no, I was just going to comment on the as far as the depth and drafting on our defense. I mean, yeah, if you think Debo, if you were going to trade him during the draft, you probably should have done that and then use that pick for a capital, obviously. But I don't know about Devontae. That seems a little rich with the cap situation. But if we want to stick to the wide nine defense, it all, like, if you look at the legendary teams that ran it, they had all pro linebackers, not just one, not just two, even mostly three, if you look at the great Seattle teams, and that's what they're shooting for. And you have an elite safety player. We do not have an elite safety.
Oh, totally agree,
strong
Robert.
Strong safety
totally agree.
Or free safety.
Go ahead, Robert.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying that, you know, that's kind of where we need to not put so much on Mustafa, the kid. I mean, he's a rookie. And so you're expecting him to come in and, like, say we could have got Justin Simmons, you know, pro bowl player. Like, that's what you need to have on your back end. Even though we didn't like Gibson as much, I would say last year safety play was better than this year.
No, you know what, you're so right, Robert. And in our thread this past Sunday, you know, we always discuss things, and Shaskin, the Niners have a rich tradition when it comes to safeties. They really do. They got a rich tradition. When you look at the lineage of safeties they had, strong safety, free safety. I want a ball-hawking safety so damn bad. And one thing that concerned me coming into camp or coming into the season was, would Hufanga be ready? No, he's not. And Tick Brown, as a cover safety, he struggles in that department. Teams pick on him. They throw at number 27. I think Tick Brown's a good player, really good player. But damn, they pick on him in the pass game. So as a ball-hawking safety, yeah, I would love it. Like, that to me is one of the top three priorities this offseason. Go get me a ball hockey free safety. A guy who could play the deep third. He could go out there and shadow bracket coverage, I need a guy back there. The safeties are slow, and they miss tackles, and they can't cover. Sorry.
No, I love that. I pulled up my all-time 49er team that I created 3 years ago. Ronnie Lott, Tim McDonald, Merton Hanks, Dwight Hicks, Carlton Williamson. Jeff Fuller, honorable mention. Zach Bronson, you could throw in there. That's a joke.
Lance Schulters.
Tony Parrish.
Yeah, he's really good.
Deshaun Golson.
Eric Reed was good for a while.
He was.
For a couple years.
Until he got converted to middle linebacker.
Yeah, remember that Dallas game?
I mean, geez Louise. No, but they've missed that element. And I look at some of the lethal defensive teams in the league. And when I mean lethal, I mean can pick you off and run it to the house. Kyle Hamilton he showed you in the game against the Niners how dynamic he is.
Hey, Robert, get on the flight. Come back to Santa Clara.
I mean, he's probably going to take the year off, right?
Get your ass back to Santa Clara, Robert. We could use you. We could use it.
Robert Saleh. I would love to get Robert Saleh back.
From the New York Jets. We'll ask Baldy about it at 7:30.
Wow.
I mean, how does he take the bullet for that team? The defense has been playing well.
Because
the offense is a problem.
This is what happens.
Aaron Rodgers.
No, you could draft well everywhere, but if you miss on quarterback, which they did with Zach Wilson, and now with Aaron Rodgers, you're done.
R-E-L-A-X.
This would have happened if Kyle Shanahan had Purdy not emerged. Am I wrong? Yeah,
no, you're not wrong. All right, Baldy coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
What's going
going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky, 95.7 The Game.
All right, today's your chance to have breakfast with Baldy, Friday, October 18th. Baldy will join us this morning at 7:30 a.m., and right after the conversation, we'll be giving out 10 spots. That's right, 10 spots for you and the guests to come in to have breakfast with Baldy. We'll do that. Baldy going to join us 7:30 on the River Islands guest line here. Robert Saleh fired from the New York Jets. Jeff Ulbrich, former 49ers linebacker, will be named the interim head coach for the New York Jets. Daniel Hackett is still the offensive coordinator. But we were just talking to during the break, Shasky.
What number for Jeff Ulbrich as a Niner?
Huh?
Do you know what number?
53.
Look at you. What college?
Hawaii.
Look at you.
Jeff Ulbrich was one of my favorites. I love Jeff Ulbrich.
He was also a part of Jim Moore Jr. staff at one time. Yeah. Down at, I believe, UCLA.
Yep, UCLA. Yeah, he's been around the coaching block for a while. He's intense. But Robert Saleh gets fired, and I'm just wondering why. We'll get Baldy on because he spends a lot of time around Jets camp. I'm looking at their last two losses, right? So you fired a defensive-minded head coach when you lose to the Denver Broncos 10-9. And they lost 10-9 to the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix threw for 60 yards. 60 yards, okay? He threw for 60 yards against Minnesota and London. Rodgers threw a pick six. Rodgers threw three picks in all, including a game-winning pick when they were driving. So I'm trying to just figure out, did Rodgers, was it the code red from a few good men? Did Rodgers put out the code red?
Ayahuasca man? Of course he did. I mean, come on, dude. Like, duh. There's no way Belichick's touching the Jets now, right?
Hell no. He never was. And the organization's a mess.
I have a new number one as my power ranking for the Bill Belichick board.
Is it Philly still?
No. Is it the 49ers? No. I'll rattle through it very quickly.
All right, go ahead. Do it right now.
Number five, the Jets.
He's not going there.
I know. Number four.
Number four.
The Raiders.
I think the Raiders need to be higher.
Okay.
Just win, baby.
Number three.
Jacksonville.
All right.
Number two.
The 49ers?
No. Oh. Although I would love to have them.
Oh, nah.
I'd love to have them.
I can't do what you
said. I'm just teasing. The Bears.
That's a good one. But you know what? You see Caleb? He's getting better every single week.
But I like him with the Bears.
Hey, I'm back on the Bears. Take the over win total.
My new number one for Bill Belichick number on the Bill one. Belichick board. The Cincinnati Bengals.
You think he goes to Cincinnati?
What? Are you kidding me? The Cincinnati Bengals.
He'll be on to Cincinnati.
That took the words right out of my mouth. God, Sam, I love you.
You guys are not high on Zach Taylor.
I was hyping up Zach Taylor before they even got to the Super Bowl. Me and Covey were arguing on the late night.
No, how come I brought up Zach Taylor earlier this year?
Because no one ever gives him credit.
I gave him credit. You guys pushed back on me just 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, I brought up Zach Taylor. You guys pushed back on me.
Because we're saying that nobody... No, what we were saying is that no one else considers him one of the top 10 coaches.
Well, I don't know why. He's a very good coach.
Oh, he's on the hot seat, Bonte.
Is he on the hot seat?
Oh, what are they, 1-4?
Did they make the playoffs last year? No, Burrow got hurt.
Yeah,
Burrow
and then that backup quarterback was balling out till the end.
Yeah, Burrow got hurt.
Darren Trumbull. Cincinnati.
I don't think Mike Brown, that's not his style, though.
I know, but that's how you buck the trend.
That's not his style.
Belichick, just take over. You've got Burrow. Yeah. If I'm Belichick, I'm finding my franchise quarterback. That's why I like the Bears, and I really like Jacksonville, and I really like, obviously, Cincinnati for him. That's my little Bill Belichick board. I'm taking the Jets off the board. I think he wants no part of Rodgers.
I don't think he wants part of the Jets organization, which is why he walked away from it 20-some-odd years ago.
But to your larger point, Aaron Rodgers absolutely beheaded Robert Saleh.
Oh, it's not even close. Not even close.
God, you think he would take a job mid-season and come back here? He's got like kids.
Just bring him as a consultant. Bring him in as a consultant.
So now I have two consultants defense. Brandon Staley and I've got Robert Saleh. We need both on the whiteboard.
You know what they miss?
Consulting.
They miss Saleh's energy on that sideline. Hold on.
From the inventor of I don't care about.
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care. But since y'all made such a big deal about press box gate and whether to be on the sideline. Well, what has Nick Sorensen done on the sideline? Does he show any emotion?
Not enough.
How much emotion does he show?
I don't know, but I mean, the only emotion I've seen from the sideline is when Dre Greenlaw was ready to get in a fight in street clothes.
I swear to God. Cleveland's a good call, Zucci May. Cleveland's a good call.
I don't think he wants anything to do with Deshaun Watson.
They'd move off of him. I mean, they're going to have to eat
like
a lot of money.
$10 billion cap hit.
I get it. Belichick was talking about money yesterday with Pat McAfee.
Wait, what is it?
$172 million dead cap for the next couple years.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's bad. Oh, my God.
And it accelerates the second you cut them.
They're stuck.
$172? I might just bite the bullet for a year and do it. It's that bad.
You know.
I honestly don't think Deshaun Watson goes to another team.
No, I think he's done.
I think he's done.
He's just stuck in Cleveland.
I don't think anyone brings him back.
He's stuck in Cleveland. No, I was going back to Sorensen for a second. I'm just thinking about him. Sometimes I get confused with Kyle Shanahan and the way they just look on the sideline. Like, we know Shanahan, you don't really get a lot of fist pumps out of him.
No.
You don't get much out of Shanahan on the sideline. He's just
unless
in his
you blow an assignment as a DC in the Super Bowl.
He'll throw his headset off. I remember when he did that, I go, what did I say in real time? I said, who the hell is he to throw his headset? He kept your ass in the Super Bowl.
We were up in the noses of nosebleeds of all spots, and I could see him throw the headset, not the iPad.
That ticked me off. Again, I said, Shanahan, you finally won me over. Now you want to throw your headset to Steve Wilkes? Unbelievable. Unfreaking believable. So,
Bring Salah home.
Oh, my gosh. But this a larger point with Aaron Rodgers. You talk about a guy, Q rating, going down the drain. He's one of the all-time greats, throwers of the football, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the way he's gone down over the last 5 years with that guy,
he
couldn't get along with Matt LaFleur. How fun does Green Bay look?
Oh,
they look like they love playing for Matt LaFleur.
Absolutely.
Hey, Rodgers tried to stick it to him, try to get him fired. He got McCarthy fired. McCarthy doesn't seem like a bad guy. I don't think he's a great head coach. But you know what? Dallas is playing for him. Dak Prescott went to his family's house with him in Pittsburgh. Did you see the way they were laughing when they scored that game when he touched down to Pittsburgh? They have fun with Mike McCarthy. Credit to him. Aaron Rodgers got our boy Salah fired. He's a coach killer.
You really don't like Aaron Rodgers.
Not anymore. You give up 10 points to the Denver. Bo Nix threw for 60 yards.
Well, he's not very good.
-7 at halftime.
-7 at halftime.
That's Kaepernick style.
You know?
What was Kaepernick, -12 against the Bears?
Chicago or something like that. -4 or something like that.
Bo Nix just threw like 300 yards against Antonio Pierce. So
and then shoot his coach out.
Yeah, that was pretty sick. Sean Payton.
Well, Sean Payton. You know how I feel about Sean Payton.
Payton said he has a little Ferris Bueller's Day off in him, too.
No, I don't know how you feel about Sean Payton.
I think he is a fraud.
No, before the season, you were like agreeing with Cowher when he was at him in the top five.
I hate Sean Payton.
But not only that, Bo Nix throws for 60 yards, and then Rodgers goes out there to London and throws three interceptions, including a pick six to Van Ginkle. And he got confused as Van Ginkle came back, act like he was in the cover zero blitz, and dropped back in coverage and took away the slant and went 60 yards to the house. And then he throws a pick to Stephon Gilmore, a terrible throw by Rodgers, and they had the audacity to go to the referee and chew him out. No, you threw the interception. You threw three picks. Who the hell is Aaron? Like, Aaron Rodgers missed me with him.
He was on the ground, and I don't know if you saw all the memes, but he hurt his ankle, and he's on the ground, and it was like me after playing Legos with my kid for more than 5 minutes after I'm 35-plus years old. I mean, it was just the greatest meme of all time.
You know what?
He is a coach killer.
So, you know what? New York City deserves him. Jets fans, you wanted him. We all said, be careful what you wish for. Be careful. Baldy's always around Jets camp. I thought the Jets were going to be legit this year because of that
Brees
defense.
Hall, all the people who took Brees Hall in fantasy, you have to be regretting that.
Yeah. Did you take Brees Hall?
No.
I did.
Guido took him number one overall.
Yeah, he's not looking good
and
right now.
The guy in number zero is the guy who should be playing. Yeah, also, the guy who played with Isaac Arendo in college, and he looks like a better NFL player.
Took him number one overall? That's a fireball offense.
Who, Guido?
Yeah, he should be fired.
Guido might be first in the league right now.
Come on.
Guido's got a great team.
Brees tall number one over Justin Jefferson?
He's like 4-1.
No, but you know what, though? It's easy to say that in hindsight. But I didn't take Justin Jefferson in one league. I took Breece Hall number 3 overall because I didn't know. She had Sam Darnold playing quarterback.
Yeah, I get it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, you didn't know about Tua.
So when Mike McDaniels gets fired down in Miami, we're just going to bring all the old coordinators back, huh?
Why not? Why not? Oh, Spadoni. Oh. You said the Jets would be Super Bowl contenders on a pregame show.
Did you? This is the move that's going to galvanize them. Actually, I said they were contenders. No, I didn't say they were going
to
win it.
No, I thought the Jets would be really good, too. I don't mean to bring that. That's the Comcast business.
My Chiefs-Eagles pick is on
the ice, though. People love to bring up our receipts. I love to see you guys' receipts out there.
Hey, we all miss.
I picked the Jets last year to win the Super Bowl, though. That was a tough season.
This is my favorite from the kids. I say to the kids all the time, Steph Curry's like a career 44% three-point shooter. He's the greatest of all time. That means he's missing like close to 55%. All right, it's okay. You can miss. It's okay.
You miss 1,000. What is it? 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah. Closed mouths don't get fed at the Chasky household.
Wow.
You like that one? Speak up or forever hold your truth.
Look at you.
I'm so ready to talk to Baldy.
Is he ready to roll?
I mean, do we bring Salah in? Like, what do we do here? Is Salah going to actually wrap up? Is he going to be the one? Is he the one missing tackles?
Hey. You know,
if I'm Jed York, how much money do you have to pay Robert Saleh take a week off and come straight to San Francisco, right away?
I just can't wrap my head around Aaron Rodgers because you know he ordered a cold red. You know he ordered a cold red.
We should have known when he pushed him off of him.
Like, already, you played the Vikings are 5-0. It's a good football team. You had the ball with a chance to win the game. The quarterback that you traded heaven and earth for threw the pick, and he threw 3-0. And his body language is, you want to talk about all-time bad body language? Oh, Garrett Wilson is over Aaron Rodgers. I bet you Garrett Wilson wants out.
I mean, does he want to go back to Zach Wilson?
Hey, well, do you think he just walks out of that situation?
Well, I mean, it's the Jets.
I don't even know. I mean, and he's a hell of a player. Hell of a player. Now, everybody's going to point to 20-36. He's 20-36, Robert Saleh. Well, you lost Rodgers 4 plays into the season.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that sucks.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I saw a stat floating around yesterday about Kyle Shanahan. He's under 500 without CMC. It's like, yeah, he took over an expansion team. Does anyone remember how bad they were? They had Brian Hoyer playing quarterback.
I mean, they were all-time bad. The fact that they lost 5 straight games by 3 points or less was an accomplishment in itself. Like, that was an accomplishment for that 49ers.
My favorite
team.
Was hearing the voice of the 49ers try to cape up for the toughness of C.J. Beathard during that losing streak. All right. I also heard an explanation yesterday from same individual about global warming ruining the stadium and how the Niners need to wear white jerseys during the month of October. And it's like, guys, I'm telling you right now, the color of the jerseys had nothing to do with them winning or losing on Sunday.
You're going down a rabbit hole that I'm not going down with you with. I'm not going into that bunker. But I want to hear from Richard Sherman at 888-957-9570. I have no idea what you're talking about.
They were saying that it gets too hot in October in Levi's Stadium.
Who's saying that?
Everyone. Oh, and I'm telling everyone right now, red jerseys, white jerseys, it didn't make a difference. All right? No difference.
Our boy Niner Nick, did you see his video? Niner Nick?
Oh, I saw him. It was great.
Dude.
Go Niners, psych.
No, when he's talking about the stadium, we got the worst modern. I told you, whenever they lose, stadium talk appears. Oh, the stadium.
He is right on one element. Of the modern new stadiums, it's not one of the best.
Yeah, but nobody talks about the stadium when they win. Oh, Levi's is rocking at night.
Yeah, but this is what happens. The amenities better be good. You know what? Like, even though the Giants sucked for the last however many years, stadium was still sweet.
Yeah, I hear sounded like Al Gore talking about global warming, man. We need to hurry up and get the ball.
I said someone else did.
Yeah, well, you brought it up. Shark Week, please.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those 4 angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
If there was ever a better time to pregame Brian Baldinger, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line, it is right now as all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Baldy here to save the show, because I don't know. I don't know how the hell we started talking about global warming or whatnot, how that impacted a loss. But anyway, hey, Baldy, good morning to you. You got to see a doozy in Cincinnati. Skyline chili, Burrow's 5 touchdowns. And, of course, Lamar doing Lamar-type things. We'll get to that in just a second. But I want to get your thoughts. We got some breaking news here over the last 20 minutes. Robert Saleh out as the head coach of the New York Jets. You spent a lot of time in New York with that team. I see you do a lot of podcasts with Bart Scott, a lot of stuff with Jets camp. Did you sniff that coming with the Jets? Because hey, when I look at the last two losses, give up 10 points to the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix threw for 60 yards. That's not on the defense. Aaron Rodgers threw in 3 interceptions and a pick 6. To me, that's not on the defense. Did you see this coming, Baldy?
Well, I saw a lot of things that just haven't worked and have not improved. The run game has been pathetic since the opening game against the 49ers. Breece Hall is a heck of a back. I just broke him down just before they fired Robert Saleh, and I just looked at Breece Hall, 65 runs this year. 31 of the 65 have gone for 2 yards or less.
Wow.
And a lot of those are first down runs. And basic, like, signature runs, outside zone, inside zone. I mean, they don't know where they're going. They don't know who they're supposed to double team. They're position blocking. They're not coming off the ball. That's all on coaching. I mean, they had 13 penalties against Denver in the rain, 5 pre-snap penalties. They just look sloppy. That always falls on the head coach. So I'm not surprised. Jeff Albrick, I would imagine, would be the upgraded to interim head coach. He's a good coach. He's done a good job with the defense. They should have won that game on Sunday against Minnesota. But, you know, they're not making the plays necessary to win it. And they could have easily won the last two. They just didn't make those plays necessary.
Baldy, Niner fans, again, you tell us how realistic this is. The immediate news of Robert Saleh getting fired, the amount of texts, chats, personal text that we received, bring Saleh back to San Francisco as DC. It's just pouring in. How realistic is that?
Nah, I don't think it's realistic right now. You're going to fire Sorensen after 5 games and replace him with Robert Saleh. I think it's more of a personnel issue than a coaching issue, although it is pretty vanilla. It is pretty plain what they do. But they've lost a lot of key players. They're not the defensive front they were when Robert was here. So, I mean, that's where it all starts up front. But I don't think it's realistic at this point right now to do this midstream like it.
All right, how realistic is it for this defense to step up against Seattle here? This defense, and we can start there. We'll get to the offense in a second. But the Niners drop one. And, Baldy, when they lost that game, I thought of you immediately because you kind of checked me last week. I thought Arizona kind of laid down against Washington. You say, hey, that was an outlier. They play tough. They play physical. And you know what? They were physical in that second half, running for over 6.5 yards a carry with the Terminator, Connor. He played great. I mean, he is so physical. He's a good back. They made all the plays down the stretch defensively, cover 0 blitzes, whatnot. What went wrong defensively, however? Let's start there on the defensive side of the ball for the 49ers against the run. Why are they not stopping the run right now?
Well, they're not getting off blocks. They're not in their gaps. I mean, they're kind of guessing a little bit. The linebacking core, I mean, I don't know if something's wrong with Fred. I mean, he looked bad at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was cramping or groin or something. Something wasn't right. It
ankle.
Wasn't Fred. Ankle, okay, yeah. I mean, he was on one leg, and you could tell. But the Arizona Cardinals have been running the ball well. I was just shocked. I know you guys talk about global warming. Like, were they in the locker room just saying, man, it's really hot out here today? You know, because, I mean, they came out, Arizona went 2 plays, 68 yards, scored a touchdown. Like, you know, I mean, nobody covered the tight end in the opening play of the game, right? You all saw that, Joe. 22 yards, Trey McBride. I mean, he was their leading receiver last year. It's not like he's a new guy on the block. They didn't cover him. And the second play, I mean, I've been watching highlights of Kyle since he was at Allen High School in Texas. I have a farm not far from Allen. He's been running the same read option play. And the 49ers have gone up against him 6 years in a row now. Like, to look as confused as they were on that 50-yard touchdown run was bizarre. Now they got the game in control, and then they just completely lost control of the game at the end. And it started with the the Arizona Cardinals' commitment to the run. And it was real. And James Conner has been able to do that. And I think Froholt's a good player. And, you know, Hernandez got hurt, but, you know, Cologne came in there. Paris played good. I thought they just decided they were going to go win the line of scrimmage. And when they beat the Eagles, when they beat the Cowboys, when they beat the Steelers last year, they ran the ball against all three teams like they did in the second half against the 49ers.
Yeah, I thought the other wide receiver, Wilson, played phenomenal and was wide open on a variety of plays. I want to go back to that run by Kyler Murray. Like, I don't want to pick on the guy, but Devondre Campbell is just, I don't know why he's playing so much. It's driving me nuts. And then Talanoa Hufanga made one of the worst angles I've ever seen. You brought up safety play and how, you know, you were taught many years ago where the safety needs to play on the ball. It's almost inexcusable how poorly they played that particular big-time chunk play. Talanoa has not been good this year. Their safety play has not been good. What do they do with linebacker and safety?
Well, I want to add to this, Baldy, too. Bosa crashing down. He says that's his assignment, but how can he adjust that? Because you see him crashing. We saw the Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes killed him, Baldy.
Well, I mean, look, this assignment football, his job is to go tackle the mesh. Whatever that is, like, just go black. Now, but you have a guy. Now, you're right. I mean, Hufanga has been invisible. The safeties have been visible.
Yeah.
Tig has been bad. Talanoa has been bad. Like, I don't know if they look hesitant, and they're going the wrong direction. I don't know what their keys are taking them on the 50-yard touchdown run. I don't know why they're getting sucked inside. I mean, when you ever anytime you see a play, I don't care who executes it and who scores. Anytime you see a 50-yard touchdown play, run or pass in the league, just look at what the safeties are doing. Remember that play right before the end of the half by Jordan Addison last year against the Vikings?
Yep.
Like, you get poor safety play, whether it's bad, not playing the ball in the air correctly, or not tackling properly, or taking bad angles, it leads to 7 points.
Unbelievable. Baldy here on the River Islands guest line, breaking down the loss to the Arizona Cardinals. Niners now 2-3, a game behind Seattle, but they have a short week, short turnaround against a team that just lost to the New York Giants. It's a big time game within the division here. The Niners can fall to 2-4 before playing the Kansas City Chiefs, who look like they're in a league of their own right now. Baldy, offensively, Brock Purdy, how would you assess his performance on Sunday against the Cardinals?
Well, I mean, look, he's got two tip balls that are intercepted. That always falls on the quarterback. You know, you can say he's throwing to Kittle on the first one, and he is. And, you know, the kid, Lopez, is, like, just stuck on the line of scrimmage and puts his hand up in the air in the passing lane, and the ball gets, you know, deflected. Honestly, like, if you look at these red zone struggles that they have, and this is not just, obviously, Joe, you bring it up quite a few times, but, you know, you get down there six times, you come away with one touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just watch some of these plays, I'm like, I'm not sure where Brock is supposed to go. Honestly, these guys look like they're running to be covered. That's what it looks like. Either that or Arizona has just done an incredible job of scouting them, and they're positioning themselves in a spot where the receivers are going. And he's got, like, but even that, you know, like, look, Kittle catches the pop pass over the middle. But, you know, the one that he, in the end zone, on the opening drive of the game, he caught that pass last week. Like, it's up there on the rim. He goes up and gets it. He's got two hands on it. He just doesn't come down with it this week. Last week, he came down with it when we celebrated it. You know, you get the third down, you're the third red zone possession, you're down the 8-yard line, first and goal at the 8. And you get a 3-yard run, you get a 3-yard pass to Kittle. And on 3rd and 2, I don't know where, you know, Brock is supposed to go.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I don't see what he's supposed to do with the ball. And he's only got 3, maybe 4 seconds, then he starts running. You get the ball down there on the 7 with 16 seconds to go, 3 straight incompletions. I'm not sure where he's supposed to. You go through all of these. And so you ask me how to assess him. I don't know what he's supposed to do on some of these right now, Joe.
You know, Baldy, the Niners are 9-22 in the red zone. 9-22 so far this year in the red zone. And I did a deep dive yesterday, and it just seems like the formations are just so basic. A lot of ace formations, 2 wide receivers on one side, tight end on one side with the other receiver. And it's just the same vanilla. Like, I saw him run bunch formation in all the deep dives I did maybe one time within the red zone. And a lot of those first downs within the red zone, it's a predictable running play. It's so predictable. It's just a run with Mason and the personnel grouping. So I don't know what the hell's going on. You're right, Baldy. I don't know what Brock Purdy's supposed to do when you put it like that.
Okay, here's the thing. Like, so they're down on the 6. You know, they're down inside the 4. They're at the 8. They're at the 7. Your first option, if you're the play caller, is can we run it? Because if you can run it there, it eliminates the sacks, the tip balls mm-hmm. in a crowded, congested end zone. If you can run it in their way, Kansas City did last night on some of their formations. If you can run it in there, you want to run it. Okay, now, what kind of runs are going to... Because the defense is playing one of two coverages. They're either in quarters, all right, which is zone, mm-hmm. and they're just shrinking the holes where you can throw it, or they're in man. They're in one or the other. Now, if they're in man... that's where your bunch formations come in. That's where your picks come in. Your rubs come in. You know, your flat routes coming off of a rub on the outside to the two receiver side. I mean, it becomes a lot easier to call plays if you have a pretty good predictability of what the defense is going to do. And it seems like they're struggling with that a little bit right now.
So what do you make of this stat? And I just, my overall eyeballs are telling me he's just holding the ball forever, and I don't know why. I don't know why he's holding the ball forever. I like when he scrambles. I don't like when he's, you know, running in on these broken plays trying to make something happen behind the line of scrimmage. 3.15. That is his time to throw, Brock Purdy's, which is the highest in the NFL. That is his average time to throw. What do you make of that stat after viewing the tape and seeing every single snap of his career? Like, I thought he was a quick processor and getting rid of the ball and quick rhythm timing. Is this something the defense is doing? Are guys not breaking once the initial routes are set? I don't know. Like, what do you make of that number?
Well, I mean, the only reason why a quarterback holds the ball is because he's waiting for somebody to get open. You want to get rid of it quicker. Now, you can, like Ayuk ran a couple of good routes the other day. He's playing much better.
He looks good.
Where the ball's out there on timing, and you could say he's throwing him open, but it's a timing play. He knows where Ayuk separates the top of his routes extremely well, and he did on Sunday, and they got the ball to him on timing. But, you know, some of these routes in this game, he's holding it because he's waiting for somebody to beat one-on-one coverage. Or, you know, and even in zone coverage, it's still one-on-one football. You're running against a cover three outside corner. It's one-on-one. I mean, you know, you're in that. So, you know, who's winning? And you just don't see enough of that in order to get the ball out quicker right now. He's holding it. Credit to the protection's been pretty good. He's holding it, waiting for somebody to get open. If they get open, he's going to, you know, most of the time, he's going to put the ball pretty close to where it's got to be.
Talking to Baldy here on the River Islands guest line. Don't forget, after we have the conversation with Baldy, you will have a chance to have breakfast with Baldy Friday, October the 18th, when he's back in town to call the Chiefs-Niners game at Levi Stadium. We'll be giving out 10 spots. That's right, 10 spots for you and a guest to come in and have breakfast with Baldy. We cannot wait for that. You know Baldy, he gets down with the breakfast. He'll eat pork chops, ribs. He don't care what time of day it is. He's going to get down and dirty here.
Yeah.
Baldy, the red zone, going back to the red zone for a second, because a lot of us are saying, boy, that's the Christian McCaffrey factor. How much of a factor is Christian McCaffrey when it comes to the red zone walls? 9 of 22 again on the season so far.
I think it's a big part. I mean, you look at, I don't know, what do you have, 21 touchdowns last year? Mm. A lot of them were red zone, whether it's, you know, his runs in the red zone are unbelievable, how he finishes this. And really, I think it gives, I can't speak for Kyle on this, but I think he probably, and nothing against Jordan Mason. You know, the fumble hurts, no doubt. You put the game on ice if you don't fumble there. But give credit to the Cardinals. I mean, what Buda Baker did to Kittle in that play is just like, I mean, you should be arrested for as violently as he crushed Kittle. But regardless, that would help. Like I said, if you can run it inside the 10, the way Christian McCaffrey runs it in the 10, and while we all miss his power and vision together, it's a whole lot easier to call plays and to stay with the run. Maybe at the 2-yard line, maybe you stay with the run at the 2 and you don't attempt to pass with McCaffrey. And if you get to the 1, maybe you run it again on 4th down. I think it does give you better options, and I mean he's an excellent player in that spot on the field.
Look, football happened on Sunday in the sense of they block a field goal attempt, they run it back for a touchdown, and on the ensuing kickoff, Jake Moody gets his ankle exploded, you know, on trying to tackle DJ Dallas, who's the only guy with a touchdown this year. They go, it's 23-13. They go 7 plays down the field, just bang, 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 bang. They get stuffed on a run. They have a false start. It's 2nd and 14. Purdy's holding the ball forever. 11 seconds, takes a sack. It's now like 3rd and 23. Ball gets tipped. It's 4th and 23. That entire sequence, not having your kicker there and having the punter as the backup, what did you make of that sequence? What should the coach, what should the players be thinking when you know you don't have your kicker there? Like, I thought that was a crucial missed opportunity for a variety of reasons. Do you take the field goal with the punter, even though it's a long try? Like, I don't know. Take me through being a player on that team in that sequence right there, or even a coach.
Well, I was just I'll give you an example, Joe. I mean, it's a great question. Like, I was out there on the field in Cincinnati on Sunday, and you've got Evan McPherson on one side and Justin Tucker on the other side. I'm just watching because the Bengals lost the game because they couldn't get the hold down with the rookie punter, right? So they lost the game because of that play. Now, I was out there, and the last two guys on the field before I left the field, and the only two guys on the field were the two kickers. And I was just watching the kickers, watching their distance. I never see a punter kick in pregame warm-up. Never. Now, I might be missing it here, Joe, but I watch kickers every Sunday. I never see the punter or whoever might be the backup kicker attempt kicks. Like Justin Reed in Kansas City, the safety, is their backup kicker. He kicked a field goal last year. He kicked an extra point. I never see that. Now, I'm sure they probably work on it and, you know, during the week. But maybe Kyle doesn't have any faith, you know, in Wisniewski or whoever, you know, is the backup kicker. I don't know. But it probably affected his play calling and what he decided to do.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Baldy here on the River Islands guest line as the Niners get ready for Seattle. So what happened to Seattle against the New York Giants? Obviously, we're locked in on Arizona. We've watched a condensed version. I just saw, like, wow, 7 sacks for the New York Giants. They go up to Seattle and handle them to get the block field goal at the end of the game to seal the deal. What happened to Seattle up there against New York at home against a wounded New York Giants team?
Well, first of all, for whatever reason, Seattle decided they weren't going to run the ball. And they were going to drop back and throw it. And it just played in the Giants' hands. I mean, Kenneth Walker is a hell of a back. He is a hard guy to bring down. I don't know. He had, 5, 6 carries in a game? Like, they didn't try to run it. That was number one. The offensive line, they got a backup right tackle. They got backups. You know, Lakin Tomlinson's left guard. You all remember Lakin.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're not very good up front. And Dexter Lawrence, they got some one-on-ones with Connor Williams, the center. I mean, they destroyed him up front. You know, and then they made one huge play on a forced fumble. The rookie Tyler Newbin recovered it. And then they ran the ball right at him. I mean, this kid, Tyrone Tracy Jr., was a receiver 2 years ago at Purdue, and he ran for 124. Huh. They ran the ball really well. The Giants' offensive line has played well 3 weeks in a row, but it's the best I've seen a Giants line play maybe since, maybe since their Super Bowl years. So they won the trenches.
Wow.
Fair and square, they won the trenches up there. And what happens when you do that is that 12th man nonsense that's up there, I don't want to say nonsense.
It's it is nonsense, Baldy. You're talking to San Francisco 49er fans. It is nonsense. They stole it from Texas A&M for crying out loud, and they pump in that fake noise. You know it, Baldy. That's why you got to wear hearing aids up there.
Yeah, well, all of a sudden, they got real quiet up there. And the Giants, they didn't just beat them. They thumped them bad. Wow. It's the best game I've seen the Giants play in years.
Wow, that's awesome. Baldy, forget last year. I don't want to hear about last year. The film, this year, we're almost a third of the way through. They got their 6th game this Thursday. Finish the sentence. The identity of the 2024 49ers is what?
Slow. They just look slow, Joe. They look like a slow team. Like, I don't see speed. I just don't see, like, it just, the whole operation, the pass rush, the receiver, they just look like a slow team to me. Now, look, when you're 2-3, nothing feels good, and you start using superlatives like I'm doing. But if I'm finishing a sentence, that's what it looks like to me. And that's, you know, that's your team, though. Like, that's what it looks like to me.
Slow. So how do they get faster? How do they get quicker?
I said to him, to Bonte yesterday, I go, they look really old. Yeah, and Bonte's like, how can they be old? Like, they were just in this, and I agree with him, like, they were just in the Super Bowl, but they look really old and slower.
No doubt it looks a step slower, but you look at these red zone walls, and you look, the way they've blown these games, they're in total control of the LA Rams game. total control.
Until they weren't.
And then all of a sudden, a punt return comes back and Ronnie Bell drops a pass. Like, wait a minute, you lost to the Rams who had nobody out there. And in Arizona, we're laughing because we see the injury report like, boy, this should be a layup. They got nobody playing in this one. And then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, you could kind of just start to see the momentum shift and shift and shift. So how do they become quicker? Because there's not some magic trade out there that's going to make them faster, Baldy. Or is this maybe a sign of things to come this year?
Well, I mean, look, 2 weeks in a row, you've been up double digits in the second half, and you can't finish. Now, but that's an execution thing. That's just execution. So, I mean, it always, and you know, as a coach, I'm sure Kyle and John Lynch and the whole group, they're just saying it's execution, it's execution. But they're not getting big plays. Outside of Fred Warner, a couple of the big plays defensively, Nick gets himself an interception, a really good read by Nick to make that play. But they're not getting the big plays the way Arizona just got on Sunday, 50-yard touchdown run. They're not getting those type of plays right now. Not flipping the field where you can, like, okay, you're up 23, you want 23-10, whatever it was, and you can put that team away like they should have. They're not getting those type of plays where you can get big chunks, and that kind of speaks to the speed element.
Well, next time we see you, the Niners will be getting ready for the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're discussing in our first segment today, Baldy, that since that Super Bowl, it feels like the gap between the Niners and Chiefs is just growing wider and wider and wider. Kareem Hunt, turn back the clock. Juju Smith-Schuster, turn back the clock. And that may be the best defense Andy Reid has ever had down there in Kansas City. I mean, what?
Your last year. Nobody can block Chris Jones right now. He's just on. But just the way that they play defensively, their blitzes, like, you know, they might not. I mean, if you just put the whole team, Kansas City against San Francisco in a foot race, it might be even. But the way that they play so much faster, the way that they come after you with free hitters to the quarterback and just affect the quarterback like they did David Carr last night, like they just play so much faster defensively. They're very, very good. That Nick Bolton, nobody seems to be able to block him. I know Fred gets all of the roses, and he should. I mean, Fred's been unbelievable. But, you know, they just play the game. They've got big, thick linebackers, and when you look at Leo Chenal and Tranquil and Bolton, I mean, they're just big on that side of the field, but yet they're very, very, they play very fast.
Yeah, they hit, their blitzes are exotic, and it goes back to what you said about the Niners blitz package. Just looks so damn predictable. Baldy, where are you going to be this weekend?
I'm going to be right here in Philly. I'm going to see the Cleveland Browns and the Eagles coming off a bye week, see if any of these teams can get, you know, they're both stuck in the mud. See which team gets out of the mud right now.
Deshaun Watson, what? Oh, my gosh. That was, Baldy, did you throw away that film watching the command? Well, you probably did because Jayden Daniels is putting on the show, and the Commanders look like they got something brewing out there. But the Browns, what a disgusting film. Oh, my gosh.
Well, the AFC North, which we thought was going to be must-see TV going into the season, it's now the NFC North where you have to watch these games. But, you know, Cincinnati's 1-4, and yet they can put up 35 points on anybody, yet they're still 1-4. So, I mean, it's a lot of football to be played, but Cleveland can still play some defense, but every defense collapses when the offense can't score.
No doubt. Baldy, you're the best, man. Can't wait to see you next week when the Niners take on the Kansas City Chiefs. Good stuff, Baldy.
All right, guys. Enjoy Thursday night. We'll talk.
See you, buddy.
We'll do, Baldy. Baldy, here on the River Islands Guest Line. River Islands Guest Line, Brian Baldinger, man. This is a sobering conversation about the 49ers. Sobering conversation. Fred Warner. I knew something didn't look right. I know about the damn contest, Benoni. I'm depressed right now. I'm depressed, all right? These people can wait, all right? 415-523-4652.
What's that for?
To qualify 10 winners to come have breakfast with Baldy next Friday before the 49ers-Chiefs game. First 10 callers to call the contest line, 415-523-4652. That's 415-523-4652
crack.
Win a spot and have breakfast with Brian Baldinger. That's happening right now. Go ahead and call that contest line, 415-523-4652. First 10 callers to call the contest line, we'll get a chance to bring a guest and have breakfast with Brian Baldinger.
People lie. Stats can lie.
Film don't lie.
When I've watched back all these Niner games, there are moments in the game where they do feel really good, and then there are other moments that override everything where they look so old, and this can happen overnight. And look, Baldy has told us for days,
yeah,
Joe, the speed of a defense is based on the linebackers, because when they play fast, it feels like everyone plays fast. And I underrated his impact, even though I know he was a good player. But the Devontae Campbell from Dre Greenlaw, that downgrade, and it's not just him. I'm not trying to just isolate him. It's not good. We are missing an all-time player. You could say last year there was an argument to be made. They had two of the top five or six linebackers in the game. And when you lose one of those guys who not only is a great player, but an emotional and spiritual leader on the team, it's no wonder that this team looks a step slow.
No, it's not good. It's not good.
And I'm not sure Devondre Campbell's a starter in the NFL.
No, he's not. He's not. I don't think he's going to be on this roster at the end of the month. That's just me. Once Greenlaw gets back, I think they're going to just flat out cut him. I really do.
They cannot play him all 58 snaps on defense like they did.
I just think he's going to get cut. Injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, not Dominic, Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, was absent from the Niners' loss to the Cardinals on Sunday. Will remain so when they head to Seattle on Thursday. He's battling a calf injury with a short turnaround this week. He'll not be ready to suit up. Others to not suit up were Jordan Elliott, who blocked a field goal. Travarius Ward, he didn't practice. They're both out with knee injuries. Oh, and by the way, Talanoa Hufanga, who has not looked right and looks a step slow, he's got a wrist injury. So who the hell is going to go up to Seattle and try to win a football game? We shall see. Injury report brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, North California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up on the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. It's a monster game, Shasky. This stretch, Seahawks, Chiefs, Cowboys. Going back to 2019, they had that stretch against, you know, the Saints and the Ravens and the Packers or whatnot. But this stretch right here, I want to get into it.
Okay.
This may be the more Donnie stretch of the Shanahan era in the regular season. I want to discuss that and kind of react to what Baldy had to say about all that stuff. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.